Blog Talk Radio.
Boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, Man Cabbage, packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghost writing, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon. When I'm writing, took the score of my life through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift, and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming. Life in bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Slate, bring the realest on the show so you can kill it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Brave, and you are now tuned in to the D Hour Show.
Yes, once again, brothers is in the building, the Tuesday spot. Getting it once again, D Slate and the brothers L-E-O-C-K. We're in the building tonight. The Tuesday spot is upon you once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the Tuesday spot right here on the D Hour Show. We get it in all the time. Great music, great conversation, great show, real radio. You better take your medication. Understand where we're coming from. Oh, yeah, we got a great show for you tonight. We don't have any specific interviews tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but it's A-OK because we got some great things coming tonight. Tonight, we got CK's Top 10. We got real men talking. The real men will be talking tonight. And we also have Stomp D Slate going on tonight as well, so you better get ready for it. We got some music. We got hit. You already know how we do it. And coming soon to the Tuesday spot, we got other great segments coming, like Poe Opera, Brother Damas. So you better get ready for it. Get ready, because the Tuesday spot is here. We're getting it in for you peoples on this lovely Tuesday, November 13th, 2012. Yes, the brother gets 4 more years. Let me say it again. The brother gets 4 more years. Obama's back in the seat, baby. He's back in the seat. And all the haters kiss our, like my girl said on Harlem Nights, all the haters, you can kiss our entire ass. Absolutely. In the building, people, you already know how we do it. I got my brother, L.E.O. L.E.O. in the building. L, what's good, bro?
Oh, everything A-okay with me. I'm just amped to be on the show. It's going to be a great one. And then to echo off of the election, oh, man, have you heard the controversy going on?
Oh, the controversy is heavy. It's heavy. Yeah, we're going to be getting that in. We're going to be talking about that tonight, you know, discussing all the controversy and just the whole it's crazy, Greg. It's crazy. I don't understand. It's real crazy. But we definitely going to be getting it in on that tonight. I got my brother CK in the building. CK, what's good?
What's going on, brothers? You know what? I'm going to tell you like this. After that election, yeah, the blows were coming. I was punching back because I ain't taking it. The man deserved his second term, and that's how we're going to look at it. So I'm ready for tonight. Anyone that want to call in and talk about this, please do call in. We can bring this into discussion right now. That's all I have to say.
you better understand, and if you are a hip-hop artist, if you are a poet, if you are a singer, you like to have your music played on the show, you would like to be interviewed on the D-Hour Show, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. The official D-Hour Show TV will be in full effect starting next week on YouTube, the YouTube channel D-Hour Show TV. Definitely make sure you guys get ready for that. And the first two videos that will be posted on there is D Slate's live interview with hip-hop star Kirko Bangs and hip-hop star Future. So get ready for that, because I will be posting the live interviews with those brothers on D-Hour Show TV on YouTube, and I'll get the information to you guys definitely sometime later in the week so you guys can peep that and check it out, because it's popping, no doubt. And that's just one of many of the videos that will be posted on D-Hour Show TV. And we're going to have some from a man, CK, from LEO, from all the piece of the D-Hour Show family. We're going to be putting some incredible videos of interviews and different things like that on D-Hour Show TV, so you guys definitely better get ready for that. But as we speak, I just want to say as well, Celebrity Thursday, you better get ready for it, because D Slate, CK, and Miss Fabulous is going to be in the building for Celebrity Thursday. We're going to be getting it in with my man, Jay Holiday. Oh, I think you know who Jay Holiday is. We're going to be getting it with my man, Jay Holiday, and superstar pianist, director, producer, and singer, the lovely and the beautiful Miss Cassandra O'Neill, who is a member of Prince's New Power Generation band. We're going to be getting in with her as well on Celebrity Thursday. So you better get ready, because it's popping like Oval Redenbacher. You already know, bring the butter, because that's all you need. And I'm going to say it again. The brother gets 4 more years. He gets 4 more years, baby. You already know. He's in the big chair once again. And we're talking about it tonight. Fellas, your thoughts. What's going on?
Can I touch base? This is LEO.
Go get it.
I mean, I paid a visit to my father's house, and he informed me on some new information about the election. And shortly after Obama was elected, they said the gun rate of purchased weapons in Texas, I think, went up about 10 times is the amount of purchases. And then there's about 25 states that doesn't want to be a part of the United States any longer. That is definitely hectic, and that's major to feel that way. I don't think these past 4 years I actually, you know, I got some sense of sanity, because after Bush left office I didn't know what was going on. But I thought he did pretty good for the time that he had, and I was really glad that he got 4 years. But for our citizens to retaliate like that, I think it's ridiculous.
You know what? I got to say, Elio, and I agree. You know, Bush's administration made everybody retarded. His administration made everybody retarded. We were so dumb. We didn't know what was going on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we didn't know what was happening. But I'm gonna tell y'all like this, and me and a couple of friends of mine were talking about this. I'm telling y'all, brothers and sisters, get ready. You throw the fist in the air, because I'm telling you, this is Obama's last term. He's going in. I'm gonna tell y'all right now. Don't be surprised that in what the new election's coming around 2016. Look, don't be surprised in 2016 that you don't hear African Americans is getting their reparations. Oh, the African Americans is getting their reparations. You are finally getting your 40 acres and a mule. 2016 is coming. I'm telling you right now. Everybody better get ready. I don't want to see no high stock in malt liquor. I don't want to see no high stock in Sean John. I don't want to see none of that. okay? I don't want to see nobody driving around talking about, I'm rich, bitch. I don't want to hear none of that. I don't want to hear none of that. Reparations is coming to 2016.
Right, as it should.
You better get ready.
I think we deserve that. We definitely do.
I wouldn't trip. I mean, look, it's look what Bush tried to do when he went out. You know, he tried to give out some money before he went out. You know, he tried to give everybody some Lucci before he went out.
Right.
You know, I guess he just figured, look, I screwed a few things up, but here's some money for you guys. Boom, I'm out of here. You know, plain and simple.
So do you think the government will allow that to happen like that, or society,
you know what?
Rather?
I don't know, but you know, if he does, I look at it like this: if he does do something like that, I look at it as him maybe possibly trying to help out the lower class and the middle class before he roll out. Now, how he does that, I really don't know, but I could see something like that happening.
The playing field definitely has to be level, because it's definitely a great deal of separation between the upper class, middle class, and lower class. It's a big separation. Now it's just becoming,
it is.
You know,
it's a huge separation, and I agree, bro. I think that the scrutiny that the lower class gets is really not tolerable. I don't think that it should be tolerated, because I look at it like this. I think that when you look at it and you say like this, look, you know, you see people, you see the higher class treating the lower class, you know, like they servants, you know, like they butlers and maids and different things like that, and treating them like they, you know, like they don't belong, and it really shouldn't be like that. It really, I don't give a damn what class you're in. Let me put it to you like this. I don't give a damn what class you're in. Everybody's learning.
Exactly.
Everybody's learning the same damn thing. I don't care what class you're in. We all learning the same thing.
And there's no reason why anybody in this world should not have health care, nor a meal to eat. It's more than plenty. I don't get
that.
I don't get that at all.
That's
exactly.
Real. I don't know. I just think that you know what people got to understand, and it amazes me of all the hate that he gets. I mean it's so that the hatred is just so crazy, man. And then people, when you see things like, when we see things like this happening, and I really hate to pull the color card. But when you see things like this happening, then it's like people wonder why African Americans, you know, are so angry. They wonder why we're so angry, because, you know, we try so hard to get the respect that we deserve. You know, we try so hard to, you know, to be treated equally and to get the respect that we deserve. And then it's like every time you turn around, the hate just keep coming and coming. And I'm sorry, all the ignorant brothers and sisters out there keep perpetuating the stereotypes. You keep perpetuating the stereotypes. The reason why you don't see, the reason why racism ain't so in your face anymore is because a lot of the bigots and racists, they feel like you're doing the job for them.
Exactly. See, that's the point I'm going to make.
You're doing the
exactly.
job for them. They ain't got to be in your face racist. Because why? Because you're doing it for them. The drug selling, the genocide. I mean, you know, the crimes, the crimes in our own neighborhood. Man, y'all doing it for them. You're doing it for them. They ain't got to do anything.
It's all a part of that plan.
They ain't got to say nothing. They ain't got to do nothing. Why? You doing the job for them. You doing the job for them. Plain and simple. It gets no realer than that.
And this was in everything. You look at media, what they allow to show, what they choose to show, what they choose to emphasize on is exactly what they want us to do, what us to feed into. And we absorb that and intake it and put it into our lives. And once, as far as crime is concerned, they give us crime. They implanted the drugs. They implanted the guns and things of that in our neighborhood. years ago so that it could ricochet like this. So, I mean, it's a bullet that's going through time. So, I mean,
I got another topic I want to see if my brothers can check out and see what y'all thoughts on it. They legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana, in Colorado and Washington. What y'all think about that, bro?
Flying your people.
I mean, I don't take heed to marijuana that much. You know that. That's a difficult question. It's hard to go on. No negative, no positive in that. That just is, because it's going to be around, and just legalizing it is going to make it okay. So I don't know. Would the rate of smokers increase or decrease?
Do you think legalizing marijuana, recreational use of marijuana in Colorado or Washington, legalizing them in those states, do you think it's going to cut down on the illegal drug selling?
No.
Well,
I don't think
the illegal drug selling of marijuana, do you think it's going to that's going to diminish because of that?
You know what? I honestly don't think, maybe a little bit, but you have so many different types of marijuana out there that I guess state regulated won't be able to, you know, accumulate or get inventory on. And most, a lot of people, it's really rare for someone to just do regular marijuana. You know, they're all into the exotics and things of that nature.
You know what, I don't really, I agree. It's a thing, a lot of people who, I know people who do smoke, and I'm saying like this, they're not going to want to pay no taxes on no stuff like this. They're going to want to pay it the same way they've been paying it all these years. Sorry if I said anything out the way, but it just, I don't know how that really going to make a difference. To me, that didn't improve anything. Plus, it also gives off a bad message, like, oh, it's still okay to do this, and it gives those, the message to younger people, younger generation, oh, it's okay to smoke marijuana now, it's legalized. I don't get it.
Another thing, being as though it's legalized, why not just grow it yourself?
You know, that was a big question and a big question about them legalizing it. I mean, that was, you know, what everybody was saying. You know, if that's the case, then, you know, how much is it going to take away on money? Because, you know, people can just grow it themselves now.
Correct.
Right.
That's just going to be touchy. I don't think they're ever going to.
I'll say this: it's experimental, and we're soon to find out within the next. I'll give them 6 months. We'll find out within the next 6 months what's it really going to do in Colorado, you know, in those other states that it was legalized in, and we'll find out what the effect will be, not only financially but. Just socially, you know, we'll find out what the effects of that is going to be, and if it's positive, and I say this, if it's truly positive, then you can see some other states are going to be doing the same thing.
Right.
Now, I think, let me ask you this question: if they were to give them a chance to grow it in their own backyard, would that make a way for the United States Agriculture Department to come in because it's a growing substance? And I know it's not for food or anything, but it's a growing substance that can produce money. So would that be, do you think that would be any effect?
So wait, say that again now?
All right. You know how these farmers got to grow all these foods, Department of Agriculture, they get in on that, and they make their money and their profit off these farmers and this farmer worker, right?
Right.
So let's just say you and I have two giant backyards and we start growing marijuana in the back, right? Are they going to come down on us and try to make us pay taxes for what we grow in our backyard?
Of course.
Of course. Of course. I think so. Absolutely. But then now it's going to start getting back to, because if they start doing that, then it's going to start getting back to people doing it in secret. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
It'll go back to people trying to do it in secret to keep from getting taxed for it.
So basically in conclusion, it'll always be illegal.
Exactly. There you go. And that was my whole point. That was my whole point. So what's the purpose where, you know, if people start growing it on their own and they start getting taxed for it, and people are, you know, damn that, I don't want to be getting taxed for this, then they're going to be trying to do it in secret, and then now it's back to being illegal again. So, you know, it's a whole big 360, you know, so I think that, you know, people really need to take a closer look at, you know, different things like that and just try to look at the bigger picture. And we're going to elaborate more on, you know, different topics like that. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I told you guys we got a lot of show coming up. It's the Tuesday Spot, D-Slay, L-E-O-C-K, the brothers is in the building. We got a commercial, we got a quick music break coming up. We got some hits for you guys when we come back. We got CK's top 10 in this to win this, baby. And we may have some deep poetry spot. We may have some poetry from my brothers. They may spit some. You never know. I mean, if they got something in their throat, they may spit a little poetry when we come back. You never know. Clear your throats, brothers. Clear your throats. We got some music. There it is. We got some music. We got some hits for you guys real quick. The brothers of the deep of the Tuesday spot is getting it in with you guys. It's my man, Case. With Faded Pictures. We got a little CC Peniston with a new hit, Celebrate. Let's get it in right here on the Tuesday spot. Let's go.
Yeah.
From her lover, I suppose. My name is Serenatus Penn, and I welcome you to my blog review sessions where I interview artistic, ambitious individuals just like you and me who want the world to know about their skills and talents. Check out my site, The Real Profiles of Rising Artistic Icons, at www.famousbynature.blogspot.com for my latest cover features, videos, and photos of my guests, and how you can subscribe and join to be the first to know about my next Artist on the Rise. You never know, you may be my next spotlight guest. Be a part of our future creators at Serenatus Penn Blog Review, where the talent starts and finishes with you.
Yeah, yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the Tuesday spot right here on the D-Hour Show. D-Slate, CKLEO, the brothers are in the building. Getting in, playing the hits, CeCe Peniston, Celebrate, Case, Faded Pictures. We get it in like that as always. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time on the glorious Tuesday spot. It is now time for CK's Top 10. CK's Top 10, ladies and gentlemen. As I hand it to my man CK, he will give you his top 10. CK, what you got, brother? What you got?
All right, Dean. I had this set up for last week, but we're gonna bring it in. With the past election, I'm going to tell you the top 10 reasons why I would not have voted for Mitt Romney. All right, number 10, he wasn't too clear about the environment. Yeah, he believed in global warming, but he wasn't too sure about the humans were responsible or not. So he advocated some new renewable resources and wants to wean off American foreign oil. And I'm like, really? And then he supported drilling. I'm like, how do we get anything out of this? I just didn't get that. I'm like, and then what irritated me about it was just like, and everything he says, if he becomes president, he has a plan. I'm like, really? But moving on. All right, at number 9, the gun control, you know, to have it or not to have. You know, he was quite wishy-washy on the views about gun control. You know, in 2004, he passed one of the tightest bans on assault weapons in Massachusetts, all right? But later on, he bought a lifetime membership to the NRA and hopes to endorse the National Rifle Association, I'm sorry. All right, which one are you for? Are you for guns? Are you not for guns? I mean, I wonder was he carrying a gun in the debate? You know, what? Obama gonna get out of line? Say he's gonna step on his toes? He's gonna pop him? What? I really want to know what he was thinking. Man, he didn't have a plan on that one. But all right, number 8. Poor people should not go to college. Really?
Really?
Come on now. His running mate had proposed a budget that would eliminate $170 billion from Pell Grants. Come on now. That's what helps us get through school. I mean, on top of loans, on top of whatever financial aid they give, we got to have something. You know, we got to pay for books. We got to, if it's not covered in tuition, something's got to give, you know. And you want to take that for us? You know, I mean, our families, we didn't come up with silver spoons in our mouths. You know, we didn't come from certain parts of the world like his parents came and, you know, came in and took right over. You know, I mean, really, we're old. We need that money, really. We seriously need that money. You know, and then he was talking about doing a budget cut. that a possible effect 1 million students this has passed. I know there's a lot of angry students that heard that, because that's not right. Don't take away our money. We need that. Even though we ain't got to pay that back, but we need that money. I mean, for real, I was a college student, and I didn't appreciate that, and I took offense to it. I almost shot a TV person with my rifle. Okay. All right. Going on to other stuff. Number seven. Let's take some federal funding away from the schools. Really? All right. Now, this kind of bothered me a little bit, because he was talking about planning. His plan on involving disabled students could possibly eliminate programs like the Title I in public schools. Really? I have a disabled niece. She's autistic. I love her to death. These programs are needed for people like her, anyone that has a disability. I didn't get that. I mean, where's the money going to go?
Should we wait to go in on this? Because I want to really go in on this. I really do.
All right. We can come back to that one. All right, Ellie, we can come back to that one. All right, now he went on the kill on this one. Number six, Obamacare flip-flop. He Romney originally said in an interview on NBC's Meet the Press that he is getting rid of all health care reform that the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act has been banned on discriminating against people with pre-existing insurance. He condoned that the ban in the interview, yet is an update later that night, and aides state he does not support the part of the law. I'm like, I didn't get what he was saying, but you know, he don't talk really clear because he talks in loops, but one of his main platforms was to get rid of Obamacare. But the flip-flop of this issue is he does his own opinions on gun control. He looped me around. I thought I was sitting here watching Bush and Al Gore all over again with this one. Number five. He does discuss his things at inappropriate times. I'm going to name two of them in this situation. His harsh criticism about the president's response came in, you know, in the early hours of the death of the four Americans alive in Libya. He stated that the president was sympathizing with the attackers. Many people believe that the statement was not very tactful. When I seen that, when he tried to go by when, where, and how the president acted, I went back, I looked at the video. The president was on point. The president was sympathetic. He was empathetic. He was concerned about those four Americans. I don't know what the hell he was talking about, personally. And I hope he didn't think he went on brownie points without him, because I didn't see that helping his campaign any. That just shows me how more cold-hearted he was. Now, on the second part of that, I know it's a lot of angry preschools that night. You do not talk about taking away the funding for PBS. And then come back and say, I like Big Bird, but you try to take Big Bird's job. You know, me and Big Bird talked. He wasn't cool with that. A lot of preschools weren't cool with that. Elio, you might want to elaborate on that a little bit later. So we're gonna move on. Number four, gay people are not allowed to marry. He said it in a National Review online, and he quote, I believe marriage is a sacred institution between a man and a woman, and I have been rock solid in my support on traditional marriage. But the sanctity of marriage is no longer sacred, with the divorce rate being 50% for the first marriages. Okay, I'll tell you what. we all have our personal beliefs about same-sex marriages or gay marriages, as how you want to refer to it as. I say to each his own. I guess you look at it like now, love has no color, no race, no sex. Love is love. And these people, if they love each other, they love each other. Some for it or some against it. I can't tell another person how to live, their lifestyle, or who to love or who not to love. But I know there was a lot of gay and lesbian couples that was pretty angry with him about that. And then to bring in the divorce rate, all right, I know everybody's getting divorced nowadays for the most part, but that had nothing to do with what he was talking about personally. Again, he brought in situations that he and stuff he didn't even know nothing about. But we're gonna elaborate that later on. Now, number three, this one, I know that every woman that's listening right now probably won't listen to this. Women have no choice over their own bodies. Romney opposes abortion. He says women have no choice over their own bodies. He opposes abortion, except in cases of rape, incest, or harm to the child or mother. He wants to limit women's rights on the choice to abortion. Abortion has always been a hotly contested issue between Republicans and Democrats. But women should have the choice. It does not matter what one religion or beliefs are. It's the fact that the establishment may govern that choice. Okay. I look at it like this with abortion. I think personally that's a more of a private choice thing. I mean, if she chooses to have this abortion, that should be under her own privacy. Now, my religion, not my faith, not my judgment should have anything to do with her decision. What y'all think, fellas?
I agree. Absolutely. I agree. I think it's a personal decision, and I think that that decision is up to that woman and that man who's involved, who's involved with that, in that situation. I think the decision is really up to them.
Right.
Correct. Correct.
More so the
woman's choice to rather should do the abortion or not, simply because she has to bear that baby for 9 months.
That's
and
true.
Then, and raise that baby until she's deceased. Father too.
Right.
And more so
right.
That mother.
Right. And who are we to tell these women what to do and what not to do? This is not caveman things where you hit your woman aside the head and carry her home. Well, drag her home. So I know he lost a lot of women voters on that note. Number two, he's rich, white, old, and a male. I was talking already this one too. He's like the stereotypical president America had tried to stray away from when electing President Obama. That's pretty deep. See, from what we know, we were part of the 47% that he was referring to, and then from some of the mysterious Twitter tweets I've been seeing, that he wanted America to go back to the way it was, like in 1922 when the Klan was at rise, and live our lives in the 1950s. No one's not gonna live like that anymore. Women have become liberal. Men have become even more strong and able-bodied than ever. Technology has grown a lot. Money has, like, increase and the want for it, I don't know what he's going to get. We're not going to go back to times where bread was 22 cents or $1.09 or 59 cents a loaf. And gas, I wish gas would go back down to like 59 cents a gallon. That'd be sweet. But the way he thinking that, you know, no. I mean, yeah, he's rich. Some of us are middle class. Some of us are a lower class. And it was just, I don't get it. I didn't get where he was coming with that, because if we went back to that time, he'd still be rich. He'd be even more rich because things would be a lot cheaper, more money, and the poor would be poor. The middle class would be middle class. And, you know, that's not cool. That ain't cool. Now, coming down to the number one reason why I would not, and I did not, and I will never vote for Mitt Romney. He has to have a white talk up for him. All right, what kind of man are we going to elect if his wife talk? Aunt Romney's speech was mostly about women, but she also had to make her husband seem more approachable. What Mitt Romney lacks is the personality that Obama certainly has with his general public. See, Michelle comes in and she speaks on the behalf of her husband and she stands by him, but Miss Wife, she was pretty much taking up for him. I didn't care for it. I mean, if anything, I think she's going to be running the country and he's going to be trying to figure out what to be next. He's going to be like, so, Ann, what's the next thing on the agenda? Okay, we're going to talk about that. You know, we don't need nobody like that. I personally think Mitt needs to go back to school, learn a few things. He kept talking about this balancing the budget when he was running the Olympics. Tell us when you were in the Olympics. This is a country, 50 states, over a billion people. Come on now. I know better than this. I think that we all can run the country better than Mitt Romney could.
That's really real.
He really needs to work on it. He should have tried to run for a senator before trying to go as a president. I mean, you just can't leap one stone and think you're gonna jump to the next two stones. No, you gotta take one leap at a time. I don't even know how Massachusetts put him as a governor. And that's my top 10 reasons why I did not vote for Mitt Romney. If you come back next week, I got more for you. Top 10 on something else, but that dude, And I'm trying to figure out what his plan was. Back to you, D.
CK's top ten. Ella, yo, you have some commentary on that, brother.
Yeah, I do. This is always a touchy subject for me, because I don't tolerate discrimination. Racism, that's always a touchy subject as well. But discrimination as in its entirety, it has to change. If you can date back all the way back to the beginning of the time, we were the same race. We were the same people. We had no social boundaries. But when you bring in things like the social class, that's when you create opposition between races and social class, meaning the lower class and the upper class, the middle class, or whatever you want to differentiate. I only think it's two now. But, you know, that's another story. But you as the minority, and you're talking Black, Latino, Asian, American, we're already starting behind. You gave us nothing. If you felt inferior about us, you create something we call currency. Okay, currency we don't have. This is something you created. Now you tell us that we have to have this in order to do this. Okay. We have nothing at all. At one point in time, we weren't even allowed to read. We had to find our own way. We learned how to read. We learned how to make our own money. We learned how to get to a point where we can get into schooling. So now you tell us, now I'm touching on the Mitt Romney subject, poor people don't deserve to go to college. And what right do you have to do that? They didn't have the same situation you had. They didn't grow up the way you grew up. You say you have a struggle. Your struggle is not the same as someone else's struggle for you to justify that they don't get money for schooling. People really does need that. I know I do. I know I can't afford, $20,000 a year to $40,000 a year for to be in a university. Now, after you already made the job situation, okay, a high school diploma is like elementary right now. A bachelor's degree is more so a high school diploma now. Now you're going to have to start need to get your master's. And now to say that if you're poor, you don't get college funding, I don't, that doesn't weigh in to me. That's just another way to draw a bigger gap, a larger margin in between social class. The richer will get richer and the poorer will get poorer. And to touch on the abortion subject, basically, you're not God. You can't do his work. You can't cast judgment on anyone about the decisions they make, nor can you regulate what goes on and says who gets this or who gets that. I just think it's unjust, period.
That's real. I agree. I mean, that's always a touchy subject. And I think that, you know, like you said before, you know, and I'm just going to briefly go into that. I mean, a long time ago, you know, all of that was irrelevant. You know, we were all one race. We were all one race. I mean, you know, you didn't have cavemen living in lower caves and cavemen living in higher caves. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't live in this cave up here. You know, your hair don't look like ours, so you need to live in a lower cave.
Oh, that there you know, is fair.
Your nose is bigger than ours. You got to live in the lower caves. None of that was going on. It was all one people.
Mhm.
You know, so of course, as we evolve, our intelligence evolved, our emotions evolved, you know, so, well, I'll say evolved and got involved, you know,
right.
In a lot of our social daily, you know, and that's how a lot of things changed. A lot of things changed for the better, a lot of things changed for the worse. And I guess in the everyday, you know, you just have to make the proper choices. You just have to make the proper choices to be not just a great humanitarian, but just an all-around great individual.
Exactly.
You know. So, and I think that's what it really boils down to. But as we get it in, ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do it. D Slay LEOCK, the brothers of the Tuesday Spot. The D Hour Show. We're getting it in for you guys tonight. Got some more hits for you guys. When we come back, oh, you better get your ears open, because when we come back, real men will be talking when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. So you better be ready, because real men will be talking. So we got hits. You want to listen? Get it in. Don't go nowhere. Here it is, my man Big Chris, More Than a Thug. And I also got a little doodle bug from the Diggable Planets with his new single Shine. Let's get it in right here on the Tuesday Spot. Let's go.
I was just a young boy, dreaming of fat days. And that's why I'm praying for still fat days. Running.
Fuck Socrates, nigga, please. You know the speed, like Clubber Lang. Hit you with slang, from the gutter, man. All you sucker ass niggas sound the same. I can't change the game, so act like you know it. Get up into the twilight, keep the kryptonite lit up. Gave up on the crimes, the right rhymes elevate your mind, but I can't escape the grind. The metals in the ghetto, stripes in the streets. Motherfucker, this is my life over beats. Got that magic touch when I crack the Dutch. In the background, cracking up, cause you whack as fuck. But Chuck, cool and crisp, we gotta rise and shine. With a frame of mind that's ready to seize the time.
You can't stop the rock, but keep shining. You can't stop the rock, but keep grinding. You can't stop the flow, but keep shining. You can't stop the shine, but keep blinding. You can't stop the rock, but keep shining. You can't stop the rock, but keep shining. You can't stop the flow, but keep grinding. You can't stop the shine, but keep blinding.
You can't stop it, no, you can't stop it, you can't stop it, no, you can't stop it. Oh, back again, the Tuesday spot, the brothers is in the building, D-Slade, C-K-L-E-O, the Tuesday spot on the D-Hour Show, we getting it, Doodle Bug of the Diggable Planets with his new joint, Shine, and the UK up-and-coming sensation, Big Chris, with More Than a Thug, you know how we do. Let's get it. Now it's time, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for us to kick off our next segment, and we get it in, and we get real with it. It's called Real Men Talking. The real men, the real brothers of the D-Hour Show, discussing wonderful topics and getting our talk on for Real Men Talking. And I'm going to let my man L.E.O. start off Real Men Talking.
Okay, here we go. We're going to get real, this real men talking. And our first question posed by a coworker of mine. Now, when you approach a chick, a female lady, do you really want her number? Do you really want her number? That's the first question.
I'm going to take a stab at it. You know what? When you first approach a lady, do you really want her number? I think in some aspects, you do want her number because you want to be in contact with her, you want to talk to her, you want to get to know her better. But I think the true motive is you just basically want to meet her, you want to go out with her, you want to get to know her. So just having her number is just nothing but a stepping stone. It's just nothing but a symbol of getting closer to her and just, you know, just being able to get closer to her and talk to her and get to know her. I mean, the number is nothing but a stepping stone. That's all it is.
True to life. How about you, CK?
I agree. I mean, I know for me, I would love to have a woman number first to get to, so I can know some, talk with her, and get to know her. But now times 10 nowadays, you got some women that just don't like to talk on the phone, so they're more of a text person or they're more of a in-person person. So it may not be as important as the number, but I would love to have the number to be sure that I'm actually going to have to see something going to happen with, between us and we can go somewhere with it.
Right. I guess my twist on it is, yes, I would agree that you do want the number, and it's sort of the middleman to where you mentally want to be. Rather, any direction that you're going when you've met this female, whether you're like, oh, that's wifey, or that's something I might just want to hit, or you know, it's a step, like you said, it's a stepping stone. So by you getting that number is more so the confirmation, oh, I'm in here.
Exactly.
Not really knowing which way to go, I'm in here.
That's real.
So
I'm gonna take the next step, brothers. Real men talking.
Okay.
Here we go. The next question posed by Miss Angie B. Why is it that many men can't take the initiative to do things for their lady until their lady has brought it up? Why doesn't it just click?
Definitely. Shout out to NGB, Simple Radio. Wow. can you take a stab at this? Because I got to need some time to think about that. Why is that?
You think it's because men get more comfortable quick, or just sure of their position, and it's like, you know, I don't necessarily have to do much because I can't really, I don't know, I don't want to say too much, and I don't know.
You know what, I'm gonna take a stab at it real quick. You know what, ladies, I'm gonna tell you like this, and I think this is the situation. I think that what ladies have to understand and what sisters have to understand is that I don't think that it's not the fact that we can't take the initiative, not at least not all of us, but I don't think that it's the fact that we can't take the initiative to do things for our lady. I think what it is that, you know, I think, you know, with men, you know, with real men, what we ultimately like to do is that we like to surprise our lady.
Mm.
You know, we like to surprise our women, and we like to, you know, and the thing about it is that I think with women, they like to get those type of things all the time. And I think what women have to understand is that when, you know, to surprise your lady or do things for your lady all the time, what happens is, you know, it takes the excitement away from the relationship, you know, and then
right.
After a while that it starts to get boring and it starts to become a routine, and that's what you don't want. You don't want it to become a routine. You want it to, you know, you want to be able to be surprised every now and then. I think with men, we like to hold on to things and keep it in our repertoire and keep it in our, you know, proverbial surprise suitcase, if you will, and I think that we like to keep it. And then, you know, when a birthday's coming around, or anniversary, or Christmas, or just you know Valentine's Day, or, you know, maybe even if it's just once a month, you just pick a day once a month, you know, and don't do it the same day out of the month, but you just pick a day out of the month. And you just surprise her and do something for her. And the thing about it is that keeps the excitement going in the relationship. And now your lady and women, and now you're thinking, man, I don't know what he's going to do because he's always surprising me and he's always doing things for me. Now your excitement is hyped up. Now
right.
you're looking at this guy with more love and more affection. And I think that's what it is. It's not that we don't like to do things. It's just like we don't want it to become a routine. We don't want it to become boring. We like to save it for just that right particular time and then hit you with.
I think it has something to do with patience as well. I feel as though That in some instances the male could be more patient when it comes to things like surprises and things like that. Looking back on, you know, past relations or relations in general, sometimes male and female aren't on the same page at times, and what they want at that in particular time may not be what the male is willing to give at that point, but could be thinking about it but didn't act on it. And the female draws it up before the male acts on it. It may seem as if that the male is slacking, but mentally he probably isn't. That's just my perspective, but, you know, that probably can vary, and I'm pretty sure it does.
Real men talking. Real men talking. CK.
I mean, to take the initiative, I mean, some men, I would say, some men got to feel like, now, I got you. I don't really need to do too much. But I say that, you know, they probably, some of us get simple-minded and fast-tracked, but it's always good to keep that in mind that a woman likes to be pampered. She likes to be paid attention to. She likes to do things. She doesn't always just want to sit in the house and just look at TV and she wants to get out, let her hair down, get a little wild. And some brothers just don't think about that. And they really don't. So, I don't know. But I'm going to take you one step higher. I'm going to move to the next question.
I want to know,
why is it difficult for men to regroup after being hurt by women?
Woo! Preach. Yeah.
You know what? Okay, here we go. You know your boy D-Slay. Here we go. I'm a stab at it. Look, I think when you think about that, and I think when you say, okay, why is it more difficult? I don't know. You know, because when you really think about it, is it really more difficult for a man to recover from being hurt, or is it more difficult for a woman to recover? I'm gonna throw out the differences, and I'm gonna say maybe it's a tad bit goes into the male favor, into the man's favor, but I'll say this. I think the reason why it may be a little bit more difficult for men, because it all boils down to pride and manhood. You know, that's what it all boils down to, because, you know, when a man's pride and a man's manhood has been, you know, hurt or, you know, has been damaged, then, yeah, it's a little harder for him to recover from that, because, you know, a man, you know, he takes, this is kind of crazy, you know, kind of crazy to say, but a man takes pride in his pride.
Mm.
You know, a man really cherishes his manhood, because it defines him as a man. So, you know, when a woman damages that, you know, it's a little harder, you know, for a man to get over it. And I think that the emotion while a man is dealing with that is mostly anger. It's mostly anger. You know what I mean? Because his manhood has been damaged a little bit. So he's trying to repair his manhood, so he builds up a wall of anger around him, and inside that shield, inside that cocoon of anger, he's repairing his manhood. He's repairing his manhood, you know. And I think that with women, you know, because I think a lot of women get hurt so many times. You know, women get hurt more often than men because they're more emotional, and let's just be real with it. Women are a little bit more emotional than men are, so they're hurt easily, and they're hurt faster, and they're hurt more often because they're more emotional. So I think in that retrospect, I think that what women can deal with it a little bit better, because it's happened to them so many times. Then after a while, it's almost like taking half a teaspoon, you know, a little droplets of poison every day, so you can build your immune system up to it, and you will never be able to be poisoned. I think what it does, you know, and what that means is that it's happened to them so many times, they start to build up an immune system for it, and they start to be able to tolerate it and be able to deal with it a whole lot better. You know, it doesn't happen to men a whole lot, so that's the reason why. Plus, we're not as emotional, so. It's more so our pride and our manhood has been damaged. So in that avenue, I think that it's a little bit harder. That's why it's a little bit harder for us to deal with.
Yeah, and I probably will take a psychological approach to the situation and go as deep as, you know, as a man is being raised with taught to psychologically be strong and any signs of weakness. You know, that's more of a definition of you're not a man. You're not being a man. You have to be strong. You have to be bold. You have to be aggressive. That's the quote-unquote definition of a man. But we all know men have emotions and feelings and hurt and pain just as well as a female does. But, yeah, it's definitely a pride thing. A lot of it is a pride thing. To humiliate a man is the worst thing you can do to a man. And that's probably the most reason why it's so hard for us to recover and recuperate back, because you put your all into something. And when men do something, we're supposed to be the sole provider, the heart, the you know the the arm of the family, like the head of the household. And once that feels like it's been ripped away from you, you don't want to go back down that same road. So we retaliate to the utmost. And it's so hard to jump back because, you know, you don't want to make those same mistakes. And it's you showing your masculinity to be stubborn. So that's my psychological approach to that question. You go ahead, CJ.
Okay.
Well, y'all both just kind of like put it in so many ways, but I try to break it down in much more simple terms. And as far as situation wise, as we know, men are physical, women are emotional. Yes. I guess kind of like I'm gonna use Maury approach. The Maury approach. Man can take a woman on Maury and say, baby, I got something to tell you. I've been cheating on you for the last 6 months with your best friend. Yeah, she's going to get pissed off, abroad, going off to the extreme, run off stage, probably start crying.
You probably gotta say Jerry Springer, because Maury is more of the baby daddy investigation company. That's what he is.
Okay. Rewind. We go Jerry, and you just tell Jerry, hey, you know, I've been cheating on my girl for the last 6 months, and she comes out, she's crying, she's upset, but you know what? She's strong. She takes that emotional time, you know, and some of the women be like, all right, let's work on this, let's try to make it better. All right, a year later, update. They come back on the show. And she sits there and say, well, you know, I've been messing around with your best friend for the last 2 years, and little Pookie may not be yours. He's hurt. He's hurt, for one, that she cheated. Two, he's hurt because child may not be his, but that number one, him being hurt, is he, like you all say, a man doesn't want the world to see him hurt. He doesn't want to show off how he truly feels. So kind of like, I would say men take it the hardest. It's just like, you can't get that image out of your head that you know she did what she did, and you're not forgetting, you don't want to take her back. And I'm like, you wrong. And then, you know, then they come in about the child not being there, and then it turns to a whole fiasco. She's trying everything to ask him to forgive her, and he's not being forgiven, but she points out, hey, I forgive you. You cheated on me with my best friend. How come you can't forgive me? And so back and forth, it's no matter what. Men has this thing where once they know that woman cheated and they stay with that person, every time they get into an argument, it's going to refer back to that. So I personally think men have it more harder than women. And I just think it's a like you said, it's a pride thing, it's a physical thing that you can't get past.
That's real. Yeah. Real men talking. Here we go. I'm pretty sure this is probably one that everybody, you know, really, we got a caller on the line. I'm going to get to the caller. I see you, caller. I'm going to get to you in a second. Here we go, fellas. And I'm going to be blunt. You know, we all know this is a mature show, so I'm going to be blunt with it. The question, this is by Kelly. What's the difference between fucking and making love?
Oh.
It's out there.
You want to go to the lines?
Let's go to the caller real quick, and then we're gonna get back to that, because you know, your boy D Slate, I hate to be the realist, you know, the realist, but I'm gonna be real with it. But let's go to the line. Caller 267-243. You on with the brothers at the Tuesday spot of the D Hour show. What's your name? Where you calling from? Oh, they got a little gunshot. It's all right. Well, you can call back and talk to us. You can call back and talk to us. Here we go. I'm going to get real with you. I'm going to get real with you guys. Okay, look. That's always a question that's always posed by a woman, by a guy's girlfriend or wife or whatever the situation may be. And a man, you know, a lot of times gets himself in trouble if he doesn't answer the question correctly. Okay, look. Of course, women, the majority of the time, and I'm going to say 70% of the time in a marriage or in a relationship, well, I'll just say in a relationship period, whether it's a marriage or not, 70% of the time women want to be made love to. Okay? 70% of the time they want to be made love to. 30% of the time they want to be fucked. And that 30% only comes out, okay, that only comes out in real passion. You know, because what happens is when you're making love, you know, and it starts to become truly passionate, it starts to become intense, at that point, that man and that woman is thinking to themselves, okay, boom, I'm tired of making love. I'm about to fuck the hell out of them.
Right.
You know, I'm tired of doing this. Let's get real with it now. Now, look, the difference, and it's not that much of a difference, but I'm gonna throw it out there for you. I think the difference is when you're making love, you're putting more emotion, sincere. There we go. You're putting more sincere emotion into the act. You're putting more sincere emotion into the act. When you're into the act and you're making love, the man kisses you on your lips, he kisses you on your forehead, he kisses you on your neck, and, you know, he tells you, baby, I love you. In the act, he tells you, baby, I love you, and different loving innuendos, baby, I love you, and you mean so much to me, and I love making love to you, and different things like that. That's making love. And you're touching and you're caressing. That's making love. Now, when your hair get pulled, okay, and you're getting choked, because some people like that, when your hair getting pulled and you're getting choked and you're getting spanked, and now when some of the physical mannerisms come out, okay, that's fucking. Because now, when you start getting more intense, well, physically intense, when you start getting more physically intense, that's when you start getting into that. And when you start talking dirty and saying dirty things, that's what that is. That's funny. That's what that is.
Okay.
So it's a difference. I think it's a difference, you know, with what's being said, with how rough and how sincere the physical extras, as you can say, the physical extras, how rough or how physical or how loving, you know, the whole situation is. I think that's truly what defines it, but it's a real thin line. It's a real thin line between that.
I see. So more so, it's the process, not more so the act. The act is the same. The process is different. I say more,
exactly.
Making love, you're sort of indulging yourself in your partner's body.
Exactly.
Sort of breathing through their body. Fucking, you're just, look, we're straight to the point. Let's go. We don't have that much time. I'm running late for work. Let's get it. So the process is different. You get into it different. Making love, you foreplay and, you know, the little extra amenities and making the scene right, making the feel
right.
And
you're trying to connect. You're really trying to connect with that person. And, you know, the I love yous and the really sincere innuendos, that you're telling this person during the act. I think that's making love. When you start talking dirty, spanking them, and all those other different things, then now it's something else.
Unconsciously losing yourself in that person, making love.
Exactly.
You're conscious of the situation, you're fucking.
Yeah, and that's what the difference is. CK?
What's up, dude?
I've been sitting here listening all the time. Okay, like, y'all named off everything that I really was thinking, so pretty much. You know how women break it down, how men break it down. Some guys, it's like, yeah, you love making, your heart is into it, y'all serious about each other, y'all actually love one another. But when you fucking, it's like, I don't know who you are. I'm getting my fuck on. It's what we doing. And then some people who they want that love making type of fucking. I'm like, love making type of fucking, what the fuck is that? Where you actually feel like you into each other, but it's just a real passionate fuck. I'm like, okay, I can get that. Bang. Yeah, I ain't gotta worry about being committed to you. You ain't gotta worry about committing to me. We just do some passionate fucking thing. Then that one day comes where fuck me like a porn star. I'm like, okay,
bro.
You know. And you just ram the head up against that wall, push that ass in, get up on it, and start working the shit out of them. That's when they really want to get fucked. They're like, that shit is good. They happy, you happy. And, you know, I think with lovemaking, you just lay there in the bed like, hey, we just saw the sunrise, you know, and it's funny, we gonna get on up, get our clothes on, wash up before we do all that. Lee, I'll hit you up when I'm ready to fuck again. And that's how that whole thing between man and woman goes. So, I mean, there's a total difference. I mean, let's just like this. I like to make love, but I enjoy fucking.
That sums it up. That's real. Real men talk.
That sums it up. Real men talking, baby. Real men talking. Look, real men talking. We get it in like this all the time, ladies and gentlemen. Every Tuesday, real men talking on great subjects and topics. If you guys would like to pose a question for the real men talking, you can email us at theourshow@gmail.com, or you can email, or you can contact us on Facebook. We're all on Facebook. You can contact us on Facebook and let us know, hey, I got a question for real men talking, and we will definitely answer your question. Or if you'd like to call in during the segment of real men talking and pose your question, you know, that's even better. If you'd like to be involved in the real men talking, like I said, contact us, submit your question, and we'd be more than happy to discuss your particular question during real men talking. Getting it in on the Tuesday spot, it's the brothers of the D Hour Show, CKD Slate, LEO. You already know how we doing it. I got to go back to some music. We got to play some more hits for you guys. Getting it in for the fit-ins, of course, is my girl Adrift Bell with her hit More. We got some D Scott. We got some K John coming in. And when we come back, oh, yeah, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it will be time to stomp D Slate. Stomp D Slate will be coming up next. Oh, yeah, it's getting real. Here we go. Hits, you already know. Adrift Bell, she got more right here on the Tuesday spot.
quarterback in. Corporate ain't understand how we got it in. We were so bright, so beautiful. So young, so dumb, we was eating bull. Walked off again with a stack daily. We ain't give a fuck, not a solidarity. Driving like we had nine lives. Looking back so many times, we should've died. Used to use Demetria ID for the strip club. Back when I had the blonde, I was doobied up. Straw was the sit in, came second. Kira kept my cook full, bitches kept stressing. You don't know what I did to be here. Oh, you been through too, nobody cares. We know the edge is going back, we ain't off that. Fuck a little T, I want all that. I want all that. I want all that. We know the answer going back. We ain't off that. Fuck a little piece. We want all that. We want all that. We want all that. I used to sleep with sick hoes in my future like when Raheem died. Eddie came doing your flow just a liquor high. Walking past my mom's house, mama on the stoop. Asking to speak to me, dad said, wasn't cute. Natural born heartbreaker like my daddy. Late bloomer, slick mover like my mammy. Sammy, I guess you would if you could, huh? My nine-ass trainer did a nigga good, huh? With little niggas getting pulled over Glen Ridge. I was in slick eating weed tea shit. Used to say, bitch, make a move, there's a problem. Bitches fighting in their thongs, yup, God got them. Some took it too far, well, we couldn't stop them. Used to be hand-to-hand, now niggas drop them. We are not the same, geographically. Degrees five below extreme, catastrophe. We know the answer going back.
I will even go wherever the wind blows. like white brick gravity, and it's bringing me down. If this world is really round, then tell me how. Is it too long for you to come around? No. Don't leave me hanging. I've been waiting too long for this moment. My ship has finally come.
Come down, breaking ground. tries this shit at home. No matter what race, creed, color, help my heart. I come sweeter than Jay Rule and damage your amateur. Chronicle facial disorders to cut. I'll assassinate your character's caliber. I channel my anger from the double-edged banger and turn it to the microphone strangler. So stop trying to see where your eyes can follow. Say goodnight to the world and goodbye to tomorrow. You're raving cut, so it's a much chicken butt. But not to the fuck with toys they like. For eternity through infinity, I internally get in here. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
Tuesday spots on, we got the funk, so come on down, get it in. Tuesday spot, playing the hits, D Slate, L-E-O-C-K, we getting it in as always. You already know Keith Murray, the most beautifulest thing in this world. K-Zon on the ocean, Adrift the Bell with more. Getting it in like that as always for the fit in. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely, lovely Tuesday spot night. The Tuesday spot night, and we keep it a hot Tuesday spot. We keep it hot, keep it hot. Yeah, I think I'm a holler at Weezy and see if I can get him to hook us up with a little drop or something. You know. I'm gonna talk to him, man. Tell him to get up off the skateboard and holler at your boy real quick. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. It is that time to stump the genius. It is that time to stump the intelligence. It is that time to stump the worldly knowledge of D. Slate. It's time to stump D. Slate, if you will. And the brothers, L.E.O. and C.K., will try to stump D. Slate. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Stumping D. Slate will commence.
Corey, you want to rock with Daisy, Cika?
Yeah, I got this one. All right, Dean. The first question, the trivia question, is in the host of these horror movies. First question is, I'm going to give you your choices. What was Psycho, the first American movie ever to show on screen? A, blood following a stabbing. B, a toilet being flushed, or C, a nude woman in the shower?
Oh, man. This is really a good one. This is really a good one. Let's see. CK, can you please repeat your trivia question?
What was Psycho, the first American movie ever to show on screen?
What did Psycho show on screen for the first time? Let's see if D. Slate can answer this trivia question or be stumped. Let me think, if you will. Alrighty, I think that I could possibly have the answer to your question. Would it be blood in the shower?
I'm sorry, D. Slate, you're wrong.
Dun, 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 dun.
The answer to what was Psycho, the first American movie ever to show on screen, was B,
a toilet flushing. I mean, didn't some of the captains Leave It to Beaver take a dump a few times and they showed him flushing the toilet? Didn't they take a couple of dumps on the Brady Bunch and they showed them flushing the toilet?
No.
It's time to stomp D Slade again. Looks like D Slade may have been stomped tonight. What is the next stomping, if you will?
The next stomping. Now, this is not horror. How well are you in film in general? Hello?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. This is a true or false question. Okay. In Spike Lee production of Malcolm X, true or false, was Warner Brothers the sole provider for this film?
Was Warner Brothers the sole provider for Malcolm X? Was Warner Brothers the sole provider for Malcolm X? That is really a great question. D. Slade will go to the think tank and think about it. Let's see. Was Warner Brothers the sole provider for the film Malcolm X? I'm going to go with no.
That is correct. No.
Bam! In
no,
the
actually.
He's back once again.
Warner Brothers did not want to fund this film because it was a black film that they wanted to publicize, and they wanted him to congest his film into a Warner Brothers studio. Spike Lee actually wanted to go overseas to Africa to shoot film, and they didn't want to fund all that. So Spike Lee pushed the movie back and actually got funding from actors like Denzel and people like Oprah Winfrey, Bill Cosby, things of that nature. Everybody came in and pitched in and funded this movie itself, and then Warner Brothers came in and tried to put their two cents in. So, yeah, you're right. They weren't the sole providers.
All righty. D. Slate Uno, the brothers won. Stomping D. Slate will continue. What do we have next?
Okay, D. What strange combination of foods do the actors cast as zombies eat in Night of the Living Dead? A, Spam of spaghetti sauce. B, chocolate-covered roasted ham. Or C, slightly thawed pudding filled with chunks of chicken.
Wait, okay. Say that question again.
What strange combination of foods do the actors as zombies eat in the Night of the Living Dead?
And say the answers again.
And your choices are A, Spam and spaghetti sauce. B, chocolate-covered roasted ham. Or C, slightly thawed pudding filled with chunks of chicken. I'm sorry.
Wow. They was actually eating like zombies. Let me see. You said the first one was Spam and Spaghetti?
Yeah, spaghetti sauce.
Spam and spaghetti sauce. The second one was chocolate covered ham.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was what now?
Slightly thawed pudding filled with chunks of chicken.
Slightly thawed pudding filled with chunks of chicken. The black version of Alex. I think I'm going to go with Spam and Spaghetti Sauce.
Beasley, you are incorrect.
Oh!
The answer to what strange combination of foods do the actors as zombies eat in the Night of the Living Dead was chocolate-covered roasted ham.
You know what? I was actually going to say that, you know, because I was, like, thinking, like, because I know sometimes when people make baked ham, they'll put sugar and different things on it. So I was actually going to say that, and I should have went with that one because that was actually my first choice. But, wow, chocolate-covered ham. Eating stuff like that, you will turn into a damn zombie. Well, it looks like D. Slate was stumped tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next Tuesday to see if they can stomp D. Slate once again. Stump chocolate-covered ham. Ain't that about a something something? Chocolate-covered ham. Wow. Who would have thought? I mean, but when you think about it, though, I mean, it's kind of real. I mean, because, like I said, you know, when people bake ham, you know, they put honey and sugar and pineapples and different little sweet things on it. So, yeah, I guess I can kind of see that. I can kind of see that. But right now, while the brothers are sitting by thinking about some crazy combination of food they want to eat, we're going to take a quick music break. When we come back, we will be closing out the Tuesday spot. Thanking everybody for joining us on the Tuesday spot. It's my man Noel Gordine with The River right here on the Tuesday spot. Let's go.
All right. Growing up, it was tough. We were glad for what little we had. I saw my share of old fair Mississippi dirt roads and Confederate flags. Every day my father would tell me, son, run and don't never come back. That's where I left my girl. That's where my heart is at. And oh, I held my breath when they dipped my hands and I came up shiny. Found out about love, yeah, in the back of my Impala where they laid my grandfather to.
They laid my granddad
to. The river now, we're black folks gather at the Sunday services too. How the river runs through the ocean.
The river's running
like I see you.
I got along, I'm moving on. I bandaged the scars up well. I think of her, then I sit and I wait for a card or a letter. I walk the beach with the sand in my feet. Place my ear up to a shell. I wonder if you miss me too. Cause I've been longing to get to you. I'm sick of staring out my window sill. I'm tired of hoping she remembers me still. I'm packing my bags. I said I'm going back home to the place where I belong.
The river.
Gonna leave her again. You see, she stole my heart down by the river.
I held my breath when they dipped my hands and I came up shiny and new.
Hallelujah.
Found out about love in the back of my Impala where I laid my friends for
oh, baby.
By the river, where black
get on down to the river, take your fishing pole. I think there's some catfish out there. Everybody's hungry. Everybody's hungry at the river. Right here on the Tuesday spot, D Slade and the boys, L-E-O-C-K, getting it in. That was my man Noel Gordine with the river. You already know it's time to close it out on the Tuesday spot. Thanking everybody for tuning in to us and checking us out. And we're going to be getting it in like this every Tuesday. You better be prepared because we got more real men talking. Brother Damas is coming. Poe Opera. CK's Top 10. The Deep Poetry Spot. You just never know what's going down on a Tuesday spot. So you better just keep tuning into the D-Hour Show Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. We got live shows for you guys all the time. Great shows. Oh, yeah, you better get ready. And the Indy Up Saturday is coming back this Saturday. Oh, you better get ready. Cousin. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little brief technical difficulty. It seems like every single time I say something crazy, the man like to take me off the air. But I don't give a damn because I come back stronger than ever. I'm back, man. I'm back. So let me finish what I was saying when the man tried to hold me down. But I would thank everybody for tuning into the Tuesday spot, hanging out with us. Make sure you tune in every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. We get it in all the time. Elio, what you want to say to the peoples?
I definitely want to say great show, everybody. All you, the independent artists that know me on Facebook, please contact me. Email me some tracks, dhourshow@gmail.com. Happy birthday to my father, also my little sister, Leanne. I love you guys both. I love my daughter, Peyton. I'll be home soon. And that's it. Live every day optimistically.
There it is, baby. CK, what you got for the people?
I just want to say I had a great show, a great time with everybody tonight. Real Man Talking was on point. I enjoyed it. And I just want to say shout out to my son, 11, Kimani. You know, Daddy is thinking about you. I just want to let everybody know, for those who are in St. Louis, please come out Thursday night to the Alpha House at 3615 North 19th Street, SWAYU, hosted by Ace Lorraine, which SWAYU stands for Spoken Word Addicts United. And she's hosting an author showcase, which I am one of the featured authors, which I'll be presenting two of my more recent books, Dirty Little Sex Secrets and Passion Loves Poetry. It's a free event again. We have great food and drink specials on hand. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. I would not want to miss out on this. So look forward to meeting everybody. Take a copy of my book, and I will sign it personally for you.
There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Getting it in. The brother CK, my brother Leo, the brothers at the D Hour Show Tuesday spot. Thanking everybody for joining us. And I want to say that keep listening to The Hour Show. Keep listening to Real Radio all the time. And if you listen to Real Radio, you will fly high all the time listening to Real Radio. Take your medication as always. This is your medication, so you better take it all the time. And I just want to say that not only am I a part of the Fly Brothers Association, but I'm also the president. Please enjoy the rest of your lovely night. We will see you guys next time. Have fun.
Good night.
In the town, reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet, giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs. So yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song again. It's the D-Hour Show. Yeah, I said it, so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest station, showing love to underground artists. Yeah.